when you start your campaigns, you launch lots of different things. A few things stick and you're like, brilliant, I've hit the nail on the head with like two or three things. So you go with those and then you just coast. And that's where I see a lot of brands kind of plateau, because I think this works, we don't need to do anything else. Then suddenly it doesn't work anymore and it's panic station. So I would recommend that you still have tests happening, because as we know, Meta's a fickle beast, and any day those best performers might not perform for you anymore.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with the Keep Optimizing format, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Meta ads. And we pick up the thread from the last time we were talking about it. In each episode, we release a new one every Wednesday. In all of them, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, we are picking up the Meta ads thread again. We've looked at in-house creative, building profits and first-party cookies, lots of things you should be doing. This time, though, we're looking at what you must not do. We are exploring the common mistakes my guest sees in the Meta ads accounts she audits. Five big areas of errors with lots and lots of little mistakes within them. And so you're really going to love this one. A lot of it is super quick and easy to fix. And will make a tangible impact on your results almost immediately. Appallingly, though, and I have to apologize for this, we have not had Aggie, today's guest, on the show since 2023. She always brings such great advice. So I really do apologize to you all for not having her on the show last year. But the good thing is, she's bringing the goods this time. So get ready to find out what not to do. And do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because her quickfire insider tips answers are super clever and you're not going to want to miss them. And I will be sharing my take on it all and outlining some other free ways we can help you improve your Meta ads even more. So stay tuned to the end. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. In this episode, I'm chatting with Meta ads expert Aggie Moroney. Aggie is the founder and CEO of White Bee Digital, a paid social agency supporting e-commerce businesses as they scale. That means she gets to see into the Meta ads accounts of hundreds of brands each year when she sees several errors crop up time and time again. Hello, Aggie.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks for having me back.
Always great to have you on the show. How has Meta ads been over the last couple of years?
Do you know, it's funny because when you're in it day to day, you probably don't see the changes. But looking back, when you asked me that, I was like, oh my goodness, so much has changed since the last time I was speaking to you. So the last time I spoke to you on here was when Advantage Plus shopping campaigns were new. And now we've had like a couple of years of running those. They still seem new, but they're not. They've been around for a long time and how they're used and everything's changed. So yeah, a lot has changed in that time.
It's kind of mad. I still sometimes think of Facebook ads as being the new kid on the block. And I mean, like, how wrong is that? Time passes so quickly in this industry. So totally get where you're coming from. You have volunteered to do a truly awesome bit of advice in our podcast episode, which is to take us through the key errors you're seeing when you're looking at other people's Facebook ad accounts, or I should say Meta ad accounts, shouldn't I? We're doing a top five. Where do we start? What's the first one you want to talk about?
So there are like mini things under each of these themes, and I'm not going to do them in any specific order. I'm just going to work through them. And the reason I kind of suggested this idea to you is because when I speak to brands, all they know is their own business, and they don't realize that the things that crop up for them happens across lots of brands. And sometimes, because they don't see inside other ad accounts, they don't realize they've made a mistake as well. So it's really simple things I'm going to cover, and it might just light a few light bulbs when people hear this and be like, actually, that's a good point. I haven't checked that for a while, or maybe that I need to look at that again. So I'm hoping after listening to this, there'll be some improved ad results.
Having had a little sneak preview of the things you're going to be talking about, I cannot imagine anyone isn't going to finish listening to this or possibly pause halfway through to go and tinker and fix something. As you say, it's always the case, you know, you need that bit of insight from outside, but especially when so much has changed in the last few years in this particular ad platform and what works and what doesn't and the functionality and the strategies. Shall we start with audiences? What are we doing wrong with audiences?
So I'm actually quite surprised still today at how much emphasis some advertisers place on targeting. So the only time now I really recommend doing more interests sort of in targeting is if you're a brand new ad account, or maybe your pixel isn't that seasoned. And the reason for that is because you have to give Meta steer on who you want to show your ads to. When it comes to more established businesses, that pixel's had a good seasoning with lots of ad budget spent a lot, you know, over it, the algorithm is more sophisticated than any of us can be. Like, our targeting just doesn't win anymore when you do it interest-based targeting. So this is something I spend quite a lot of time explaining to advertisers, to say it's great to have maybe 3 or 4 interests on a theme if you're new. Otherwise, try to use original targeting still, so original audiences, because you can add exclusions in there, but try and give Meta the space, the breathing space, to actually target the ads for you. Another thing that was flagged to me last week or the week before, an internal team were quite adamant to use a lookalikes, like a 1% lookalike. Now, this is something that I was using before iOS 14 in 2021, when we were greedy for the data. Everyone was like loving the data that we had access to. That is a huge change that's happened since iOS 14. We were talking about this before, like, advertisers have adapted since 2021. You can't really use lookalikes as much now. I still think everything should be tested occasionally, because you might get lucky with a little pocket of audience and make some money. But usually Meta struggles to find people in it for a lookalike, because there's just not enough data points that it has available, say from a customer list or past purchases. The only time I've seen this to be different is for an extremely well-established business that's like over 60 years old, has had an online presence for like 20 years or so. Pixel has been really well seasoned. It's very well established in its niche. Lookalikes have worked for them. But that's literally the only company I've seen recently where that's worked. So I would say just go with caution on that kind of audience. Also, what was I also going to say about audiences? When you have your funnel, so hot retargeting, as we'd say, so, you know, people that have added to carts, initiated checkouts, these don't always perform well. So even though we do launch these for our clients just to see if they will work, if they don't work within a week or so, we usually pause them and just focus on the warm audiences. So social media engagers, website visitors, customer list, for example, because again, it's that data issue. So this really does impact how the ads perform. Now, something, a little like gift that Meta has given advertisers, and this was a sneaky gift that came in probably about a year ago that they didn't announce. We just saw it one day in the Advantage Plus shopping campaigns. They give you an audience breakdown. So if you upload your engaged audiences and your past purchases and label them as engaged and existing customers, when you go into your data analytics, into audiences, you can see how many of those sales came from new, engaged, or existing customers. So that is a way that you can tweak your targeting or your budget allocation depending on where those purchases are coming from. So that's something just to be aware of, that that setting exists, so you can just monitor like how many new customers you're getting from your ads.
Nice. I love that. So basically, we've got three parts of audiences that we shouldn't be relying on anymore, but we should test occasionally. So the interest targeting, 1% lookalike audiences, and action triggered audiences. And then you gave us a brilliant tip to help us understand more of what's going on with our Advanced Plus or Advanced Shopping Plus. I've written it in shorthand and I can't read my own shorthand. Shocking. Bad podcast host. Love those ones, Aggie. And that's only number one. So number two then, Aggie, ad formats. What are the big mistakes people are making with ad formats?
So a trend I'm seeing, and we did actually take over an account like with the new clients, where they were just running dynamic catalog ads in their campaigns. Now, why is this a problem? It's not technically an issue. Like, you can, if you want to, just run one type of ad, but there is so much missed opportunity if you are only pulling product images from your catalog. Now, the benefits of DPAs, dynamic product ads, catalog ads, whatever you want to call them, is you are giving the reins to Meta to show the products that they think the person they're showing the ad to will buy. So whether you're doing full catalog that you're showing, or you're curating the products, or maybe you're launching a new collection of something, maybe you have a sale that's only certain products are featured, you know, you can be quite tailored. It can be quite limiting because you're not really testing anything creatively. So, and this is a bit of a budget issue as well. So if you decide that you're going to be running catalog ads and more creative ads, so say you have a designer create some graphics for you, maybe you have a reel that did really well organically, so you want to pull it in as a video ad, you would ideally have them across two campaigns. Because something that we've noticed is if you put a catalog ad in with a non-catalog ad, Meta just gives all the money to the catalog ad because it wants all the freedom to show as many things to as many people as possible. So it can cannibalize your ad budget. But I am aware that for some advertisers, this just isn't financially viable to do that. So if you're spending less than £100 a day, for example, it's probably not something I would advise. But if you do have the budget to split out your catalog ads and your more creative ads, that's a benefit and it kind of ties into my next theme. So I don't want to say too much, but just bear in mind that the creative side of things is really important and is something that lots of people are missing as well in their ads.
Got you. So when it comes to ad formats, we're missing a trick if we're only using just the catalog ads. It's better than not doing anything, but we ought to also be trying creative, and ideally we'd be doing that in a separate campaign so we've got more control over the budgets and Facebook doesn't send them all to the products.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay, you've teased the third one. So number three is messaging. Tell us what we're getting wrong with messaging.
Messaging is now the biggest lever to ad performance. And when I say messaging, I don't just mean your copy. I mean your offer, which isn't just like discounts, but I can cover that in more detail in a sec, but also your creatives. So, you know, there are still, as I said, lots of advertisers that stress a lot about their targeting and believe that that's what's, you know, plateauing their results, or they're not hitting their targets because of their targeting, when in fact it's what they're showing to their audience. And it's incredible the difference a tiny tweak can make in the ads to the returns that you can get. So just to give you an example, recently on Black Friday, so that's quite recent, one of our clients' jewelry brand was doing a site-wide offer on their website. So we ran a test. We either had a dynamic catalog ad showing all the products, same copy, it was quite short, with some emojis, you know, biggest sale of the year or whatever it was. And then in the test, we added a frame which had in black and white the offer around the edge, just on each of the images. And that made a huge difference to their performance. The one with the frame outperformed everything during Black Friday. Now, you might not think that that's going to, you know, shake the world. It's not like the most imaginative ad, but it's such a small tweak because the messaging was so clear. It literally slapped the people that are watching the ad in the face saying, this is our discount, this is our offer, and this is what you can get this discount on, like what the product was. So messaging on that, it can be copy. So it's quite important to really understand who you want to speak to in your ads. Generic ad copy does not work. You know, something like just launched and then, you know, a link to the website. So boring. Like no one wants to look at that. So you need to understand like why, so what? So what? That's the question I always ask before we launch an ad. Why would someone care enough about this ad to actually click? That is something I don't think enough advertisers ask themselves before they actually publish their ads. Now, when it comes to creatives, you don't need to be a creative person to actually be great at ad creatives. Just having an understanding of what your best products are, like what best sellers are. Maybe you've got some really great testimonials from your customers that you can add as text overlay on some of your product imagery. I mean, there are lots of different types of things that you can test. But just looking at ads library, you can get inspiration for different formats. I think the key is variety. And also not falling in love with your ads. Because there'll be so many occasions where you'll create something and think, oh my God, this is the most amazing ad I've ever created. And then you launch it and crickets. And it's like, what? Why did no one like my amazing ad? And I think that's a challenge for some brands because they might spend a lot of money on a video, for example, for an ad, like a single video, or they hire a stop motion studio to do some stop motions and they just don't resonate with their audience. And that can be quite disheartening when that happens. But I just say, don't put all your eggs in one basket because it's usually the simple stuff that wins, if I'm honest, like just from my experience.
I love that. I have no idea how to summarize all of that, Aggie. Can I ask you a stupid question about messages, though? Do we still have to care about 30% text? Did that go out with the arc?
You won't get penalized anymore, so you can do it. I don't think it's a sort of a bad idea, though, to limit how many things you say on an ad. Because if you think about it, we still have quite, I don't know, selective brains. And because we're bombarded so much with so much different messaging every day, our brains can only really take in so much. So if I was to do a sale ad, for example, I'd literally just have the offer on like quite a plain background. Or if I have a product photo with some call outs, you know, some lines pointing out some features, I'd probably stay to three because people just get a sense of what's happening and then they're intrigued and then they want to click. So I'd keep it simple, but I wouldn't be too worried about the 20 or 30% rule.
Cool. Okay. So I'm now derailing us away from our five. So let's get us back on track. Number four, we had down as budget mistakes. So what mistakes are people making with their budgets?
So I think some brands are maybe a little bit optimistic about what they'll achieve with the budget they have. So ad costs have increased since lockdown, basically, like CPMs have continued to rise. I've also found, I don't have any statistics to back this up, this is just my observations running ads, it takes a lot longer for ads to optimize. And obviously this changes, if you have higher budgets, things work quicker. So this is all relative to what you spend. But in the past, you'd probably start optimizing after 3 days. Now we leave it a week, because it can be quite volatile for a while and then things settle down and then you can optimize. And we've also noticed that there's a huge delay in when data's captured on the platform. So it's really frustrating if you pause an ad too soon and then suddenly you see lots of like sales coming in over the next week against that ad. So that's kind of a bit of a side away from the budget, but that's just kind of another thing we've noticed. My biggest advice to any brand advertising is if you have a really busy launch period, so maybe you're launching more than one collection at a time, unless you have a huge budget, do not launch everything at the same time. Because not only are you testing lots of untested creatives, because it's a new collection, so you've just launched, you don't know what's going to work. You've got to do that, say, two or three times, because you've got more than one collection running. You'll probably have different audiences, or maybe you'll have the same one. I don't know, it depends on your strategy. And then you're kind of optimizing all of it at the same time, making sure your messaging for all the collections is, you know, right for each client. So not only is there loads of work to do that, but also you need to make sure you're allocating enough for Meta to be able to test those different collections for you. So one mistake I saw this year was a brand being overambitious and wanting to launch three collections within about a week, and they only were spending £100 a day. So that was just too much for their budget. So you have to be quite selective.
Got you. So we mustn't spread our budgets too thinly, which may mean we need to think about our campaigns differently and our launch plans differently, so as we actually get the most bang for our buck, rather than spread it too thinly, learn nothing, let the algorithm learn nothing.
Exactly.
Very cool. And so simple as well. Easy one to fix. Okay, then number five, sneaky settings. Now, as someone who used to run a Google Ads agency, Google were traditionally the king and queen of the sneaky ad settings, but it sounds like Facebook are taking over that mantle. So what are the key mistakes with Meta ad setup amongst the sneaky settings?
So there are two that are driving me absolutely bananas at the moment because Meta's going rogue. So one's been around for a while, I'd say maybe 6 months, maybe a bit longer. I can't actually remember when it came in, but it was unannounced. And that was a little box that ad creation level that says multi-advertiser ads. Now, by default, this will be ticked. So what it means is Meta will show your ads next to your competitors' ads in the feed. Now, you might be wondering, why is that a bad thing? Because Meta's argument is, if this person that you're showing your ad to is interested in your competitor, then you're also there. So they're seeing everything they like all together, and great, you've got more chance of conversion. Me and probably everyone else in the ad space is thinking, what on earth? That makes no sense whatsoever. Because if you think about how tiny a screen is, all it takes is a slip of a finger and suddenly this customer who wanted to buy from you is suddenly on your competitor's website and buying from them. There's a lot of things, like if you think about how people use social media, they're boiling the kettle, they're on the shopping market, the supermarket queue, you know, they're distracted. They're not really concentrating on what they're clicking on their phone. It's so easily done. If they're distracted, there's something like, you know, at a glance, if you sell the same as your competitor, they might not automatically click that they've gone to the wrong place. So don't give them the option by accident to buy from someone else. Like, make, you know, if you're a jewelry brand, you want to be next to the dog food brand in the feed. You don't want to be next to another jewelry brand. So that's sneaky setting number one. Now, the second one is even worse. And I think I can speak collectively for anyone that runs ads, that the enhancements they force on you are awful. Absolutely awful. So initially, when they first started rolling the enhancements out, they were really clear. They were optional. You could literally select which ones you wanted. It was like really clear at the time that they were there. Now you can launch an ad and suddenly all enhancements are on. They hide a lot of enhancements that are on in a little, there's like a tiny small print that's like a hyperlink. So you have to click on there. Suddenly there's another five that are on that you had no idea about. And it happened during Q4, or we're in Q4 now when we're recording this, but it must have been like a week or two before Black Friday. I had two clients message me going, oh my God, what's happened to our ad? There's this disgusting background on it. I was like, oh no, what's happened? And they had switched on settings on live ads because they were not on before. So the first one I thought, oh, maybe we missed it. But for two clients to say that, I was like, they definitely did that. That is not. So I'd just be really wary about these random like settings that come up. I'd say the worst ones are the dynamic text ones. So they will just jumble the copy in your ad. So you might have like a optional description of like free delivery over £40 or whatever. Suddenly that's your primary message, like in your primary text. and like your beautifully crafted ad copy that you spent, you know, a whole day on, or you paid a copywriter for, is kind of like shoved into that description box and no one reads it. So just be really aware, and just, there is actually, you can click about three quarters of the way down in ad creation. There's a tiny, tiny little box that says enhancements, and you can edit them there. So just look out for that and just deselect everything. So otherwise your ads are just going to look weird.
Top advice. Yeah, the sneaky settings are the sneaky settings. And I love how you've taken us through those. I know we said that the title of this podcast is the top five mistakes people are making with meta ads, but we got nattering before we hit record about another genre of mistakes, I suppose, with meta ads that people are doing, which I would describe as management methodology, I think. Stakeholders, we're talking to you here. And you were saying that this is the thing which is taking up the most time for ad managers in-house and ad managers at agencies managing these kind of issues. So what is it? Tell us about it, Aggie.
So because we're on the front line and we're in the trenches every day, we see what's happening. We can see what's working. We can see the trends that are happening. And there are like micro trends that happen, like, you know, weekly, monthly, whatever. It's sort of out of professional like pride, we will always feed that back and say, this is happening. If we don't act fast, we're going to either miss the opportunity or there's going to be a business impact. And sometimes, because the people we're communicating with aren't in it every day, maybe they managed ads at some point in the past and they're not sort of up to speed, sometimes it just takes a bit of energy to convince them that that's actually what's happening. So that is a lot of energy sometimes, and you kind of feel sometimes you need to put a business case forward, and it's like, you know, we need extra budget for creatives because the game's changed, we need to be much more dynamic there. And that's kind of a hidden cost now of ads, really. For smaller brands, it's usually a time cost because they have to spend more time creating content. For bigger brands, you know, there's probably a financial cost because they'll just outsource it to someone else. But again, you need to give the case. Or, you know, someone might say, oh, but why aren't we targeting this really micro audience for the ads? And it's like, because that just does not work anymore. So, and it's really hard to actually prove that you're telling the truth, but why would you not tell the truth? It's kind of a weird situation. So there is a bit of a challenge in, like, it's always the same with transition. There's always like a kind of staggered lag in how the information feeds through each layer of people in a business. So that's just something to be aware of, like, as transition happens.
It kind of feels to me like the stuff went down in 2021 with the iOS updates and the privacy impact of the cookies. And then stage one was Meta getting their arse in gear and sorting it out so their system still actually worked. Then stage two was everyone who's day to day in Facebook ads getting to grips with what that actually means and how we adapt to that and how we work differently, including, you know, the huge reliance on creative, feeding the algorithm rather than getting really excited about targeting. You can see my bias there. And now it seems like, should we say the C-level, the director level, who aren't hands-on in the count, are still thinking in 2020 language rather than thinking in 2025 language. Would that be a fair way to sum it up? And hopefully this episode is disabusing some of those myths, I hope.
I hope so. I honestly hope that just hearing it, maybe from like someone that's impartial to your business, to say this is actually happening across every business. This isn't just affecting you and your ads team are saying, can we just try this? This is like, now every ads team everywhere is experiencing this. So I think you just have to be quite open just to trying new things.
And if you're listening to this, I'm going to plug my own podcast now, Aggie. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, yes, my boss is just like that, tell them to listen to this episode. You can get them in with our clickbaity title of five mistakes people are making in meta ads right now, and then we'll slap them with this bonus tip at the end. And if you're one of those people who's been told to listen to this and hearing this, we love having you here and we hope this has helped grow your marketing this year. Right, before I dig myself or you, Aggie, into a massive hole, it's been awesome picking your brains about the five most common mistakes made with meta ads. Listeners, stay tuned right to the end, because coming up are Aggie's insider tips on meta ads and my suggestions for other ways we can help you improve things even further in your business. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. Okay, Aggie, so far we've gone deep into the 5 most common mistakes made with Meta ads. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of Meta ads. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with Meta ads, which of course includes all the stuff we've already been talking about. Aggie, are you ready for this?
I am. Hit me with it.
Brilliant. Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
So these, I've got 2 things here, and they might not, like, straight away you'd be thinking this is a weird thing to say. It's not what I expected. But I've worked with a lot of beginners and trained a lot of beginners in ads, and I find there's 2 bottlenecks to them actually being successful. Number one is mindset, which also always sounds a bit fluffy, but I like to kind of reposition that as attitude. So there's sometimes a perception that as soon as you start running ads, you're going to be extremely wealthy and you're going to like move to Barbados and like live your happy life there. In reality, it takes a bit of time to get things going. And it kind of leads me on to my next point, which is knowing your numbers. So when it comes to knowing your numbers, you know, do you know your margins? Do you know how much you're paying proportionally for your the cost of your goods? Do you know what profit you want to make ideally on that? Do you know your lifetime value of your customer? Some business models are so different. You know, sometimes advertisers will break even or make a loss on that first purchase with ads because they know that with their, you know, killer email nurturing and their retargeting ads in 6 months, they're going to get them back and that's where they'll make their money. So I think having a really, really detailed knowledge of your business really helps. I mean, it's a no-brainer, like you need to know your numbers before you start. Also, when it comes to mindset, and I think this is where digital is so different from like the analog world. In the past, a business would advertise if things were slow. So I think, oh, we need to get more footfall, or it's a bit, you know, things are a bit dicey here. We need to like get more people knowing about us. Online, you actually want to advertise when things are good because that means that people actually want what you're selling. So you make hay while the sun shines, basically. So the mindset is completely different when you're advertising. And it's the same with like looking at ROAS numbers. Like new advertisers want the highest ROAS possible, whereas a seasoned advertiser knows like the minimum that they want to achieve. And then as soon as they hit that, they're scaling the ads because they know that everything above that is pure profit and they want to make more of it. So it's definitely a mindset and numbers game at the beginning to get people to understand those nuances.
Yeah, so true. I think we're going back to that kind of pre-2021 era where it was, where you just saw endless case studies of, I got my business to 100 million in Facebook ads in 2 months and here's how you could do it too. And with in many ways, thankfully past that, but anyone who's still holding on to that, yeah, they need that attitude change. Love that. Thank you, Aggie. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
It's always creatives. That's honestly the biggest lever that I've seen. So there is actually a bit of a danger zone when it comes to this. So what I've personally found is when you start your campaigns, you're full of energy, enthusiastic, brimming with content ideas. So you launch lots of different things and it's great. A few things stick and you're like, brilliant, I've hit the nail on the head with like 2 or 3 things. So you go with those. Maybe you make iterations on those 2 or 3 ideas and then you just coast. And that's actually really dangerous. And that's where I see a lot of brands kind of plateau, because I think this works. We don't need to do anything else. And that's fine until it isn't fine. Then suddenly it doesn't work anymore and it's panic station. So even when you have those core, I don't know, you might have a core like formula. I hate that word, but you know, maybe there's a type of graphic that works, or maybe you've got this certain UGC image that's like been killer for you for the last year. I would recommend that you still have tests happening in the background. You need that plan B, because as we know, Meta's a fickle beast, and any day, those best performers might not perform for you anymore. So that would be my tip for there.
You've got to be testing. Always, always testing. Especially now we've got to give the algorithm so much power. If you're not feeding it new and different stuff, you are most definitely missing out. Bad, Chloe. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I will shamelessly plug something I've created this time.
Please do.
I've actually created a free starter kit for Meta Ads. So in there, there are so many sort of mini resources, even ones that we use with our own clients. So everything from like a swipe file of ads, some campaign maps, you know, how to map out your campaigns, copy tips, all that kind of thing. It's all on one Notion board. So you can just download that and it will kind of get you on your way.
Nice. Love that. Definitely a good, sounds like a very good way to avoid those mistakes we've been talking about. Get yourself set up for success, everybody. Go and get that one downloaded. Finally, we'll do finally now. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
So something that probably isn't a surprise, or maybe it is, I don't know, something that I'm hearing a lot of chatter about and we're looking at more closely. And this is driven a lot by TikTok, to be honest, which is their live selling on social media. So there is a lot of, obviously, TikTok getting shut down in the US. There's a bit of uncertainty in the social media world. But the format of live selling is so powerful. I mean, it has been since forever, where you literally do like a QVS style video of your product. So the thing that a lot of advertisers forget is when you look at a tiny screen on your phone, you can't see the details of a product. You really need it spelt out to you. So even if you have a tripod and your phone and you're talking to camera and you're doing close-ups, so you put the product really close to the camera, show the different angles, really point out the features, subtitle it if you want to get fancy and do like arrows or whatever to point out what all the features are, that is what's going to really work. It already works for our clients when we do like demos, like demo videos of how things work. They always convert really well. But I think because of the success of TikTok Shop and so many people just doing so many live streams, I think short versions of those live selling videos are going to do so well in ads next year.
Love that advice. Yeah, go straight to the heart of the selling the product in a great way on video. It's, like you say, been going on since tinkers roamed the roads trying to sell their wares from village to village, and it still works today. So love that crystal ball tip. Okay, Aggie, we are very nearly at the end of the show, so could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business if they want to get in touch?
Sure. So I'm most often on LinkedIn at Aggie Moroney. My website is whitebeedigital.com, and I'm also over on Instagram at whitebeedigital.
Easy as that, everybody. Aggie, thank you so much for taking us through those 5 key mistakes we need to avoid. We really appreciate it. And it's been great catching up with you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so there you've got it. The 5 big areas and lots of little mistakes that Aggie's seeing lots and lots and lots of brands making with their Meta Ads activity. Many of those are like seconds to fix, certainly only minutes to fix. And then they also have an impact on your bigger strategy. So lots of opportunity there for improving your results without really having to do too much new. And who doesn't love that? Okay, you can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out episode 240, where Nikki Lindgren is taking us through how to build profitability into your Meta Ads activity, because I think that really sits nicely on this one. This one's like tidying up your house, getting rid of the errors, the obvious errors, and then Nikki's is taking it next level once you've cleaned it all up to really get the sales. And a lot of what Nikki and Aggie have both been talking about really fits in together. So you're especially good if you're trying to make that big old mindset shift from Meta Ads as was to Meta Ads as is. You can also find our full thread of Meta Ads content by scrolling up your feed or use the short link keepopt.com/meta, which will take you to the page on the website where you'll find all our Meta Ads podcast episodes. Highly advise you not to listen to anything prior to 2022 on that list, because that was old world Facebook ads and we're now in new world Meta Ads. So I'll give you that little health warning. Please also tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Join top brands to gain 60% more tracked customer profiles and a 40% revenue boost in Klaviyo, Meta and Google Ads. Sign up for a 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.